It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Jacinda, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I bet you're happy as Larry with these poll results. The Colmar Brundons came in last night and Labour are trumping everybody else.
Do you know, if you're sceptical about the bad ones, you need to be sceptical about the good ones as well.
So, good attitude to have, yeah. Yep.
I'm optimistic about most things. Polls I always view with a little bit of cynicism. I'd like to think it's indicative of people building a bit of confidence around our government, but it's also early days, so I still think, you know, we won't be complacent.
I kind of think now you reminded me of a conversation I think we had before the election results,
yeah,
where we're going polls up, oh, whatever.
Exactly. So you've got to be at least consistent, good or bad.
Yeah, true. Now the there was some speculation when the results came out last night that success of Labour was at the expense of some of your coalition partners. Is that something you need to worry about, or we're all grown ups, you know?
It's a bit of a trend post-election. People, I think, tend to retreat in the polls to simply indicative preferences around the two major parties. So, you know, my view is that that vote for Labour is also a signal towards the coalition as a whole, because obviously it is a coalition in which Labour dominates. My expectation would be that as we track through the term, you'll then see people naturally tend to indicate their support for smaller parties as part of any potential future coalition. I think also it's important to acknowledge that there are a number of initiatives that we'll be pursuing because the Greens advocated them, or New Zealand First, and some really good examples. Provincial Growth Fund, that's a New Zealand First initiative. We're announcing that more formally this week. The Greens, you know, they have their Green Investment Fund. When we start to see some of those really come on stream, we'll be making sure people know that those were the contributions of the parties that make up this government, and credit where credit's due.
Because you can be there without them, could you?
Absolutely. And I think it's only fair to acknowledge the role that they play. You know, as we have done when we've had some policies that may have been slightly different to what we've campaigned on during elections, that often will be the influence of our party's support or otherwise. And so I think in a mature MMP environment, you just acknowledge when that's the case.
I wanted to hark back to a few bits of information that have come out over the last couple of weeks. One was the New Zealand prison population being the highest it's ever been.
Yeah.
And sort of the news came out and everyone went, it's terrible, we've got to get it down. But how do you feasibly get that prison population down when you've got more people coming into the country, when you've got an escalating crime rate, and you know, how do you stop people going to prison and filling up containers with air conditioning in them and that sort of thing?
And that's one of the challenges that we've set ourselves, and I want to actually start quite a open conversation around the situation we're in. So by all accounts, in the same way that internationally we're seeing static or falling crime rates, the same thing's happening in New Zealand. Public perception doesn't always align with that, but that's what the figures tell us. And yet our crime rate, our imprisonment rate is increasing, so it's out of kilter. So that then says to us as policy and lawmakers, something's going on. Early suggestions seem to be that things like our remand population, so the way that bail laws are working, has increased that remand population. We know, for instance, that some individuals who are deemed to be ready for parole aren't being released despite parole board recommendations because they won't have housing to go to.
Right,
so we
yeah.
see the housing crisis play out in our prison population, and that's pretty expensive housing right there. So there's a number of factors there that will be playing a role in those high numbers. And so we've got to look at all of that, and also the quality of our rehabilitation program.
Is that system itself antiquated? Because it's sort of essentially the same system as it was post-World War II, isn't it?
Yeah, you have pockets of really high-quality rehabilitation. You know, and I've seen pockets of some of the employment programs, and some of it's really good, but the level of reoffending we're able to bring down through those programs is still, even though internationally might seem competitive, still relatively low. I do think that there is room for us to look at international examples, because, look, our goal is all the same. I think everyone in politics wants to reduce reoffending and wants to reduce the number of people who might be imprisoned in the first place. We have just very different ideas about how to go about that.
Right. The other thing I wanted to hark back to is that the charter schools argument and the decision that your government's made to shut them down unless they have a special dispensation within the next year or this year. Where's that all coming from? Where's it right behind? Because, I mean, politicians don't do anything without someone nagging them in the first place, I guess. So, I mean, who's the people that are for charter schools? Where's all the pressure coming from there? Like, who's making David Seymour fight so hard and humiliate himself for it? And what's causing your government to be so concerned about shutting them down amongst all the many different things that you could be concerned with in the country?
And look, it's obviously one of the things that we've said we're going to do amongst a raft of other things, but it's certainly been heightened because for David Seymour it was a core plank of his support for National was the establishment of charter schools. So I get that it's quite personal for him. But our objection has been pretty straightforward. Charter schools and the model that they operate allows, for instance, not all schools, charter schools do this, but it allows them, for instance, to operate as a business and therefore to run a profit out of education. They're able to teach without unregistered teachers, and they don't have to teach the curriculum.
So the lobbying to keep them is just a money thing?
I don't want to say that about every school because not everyone is operating that way. In fact, to be fair, at least an example, one of them actually tried to set up, as I understand, as a school of special character, but it was too hard, and so they became a charter school. Now, that tells us that actually we need to make sure that where there is a genuine need and where they can cater for some particular education requirements and for their community, we should make it a bit easier to set up as a school of special character. But just make sure that you run on a similar kind of funding vein to our other public schools, and that you have registered teachers and teach your curriculum. And there are schools that are charter schools who say, yep, we can do that. So we're trying to transition them.
Right. Now, your government received a whole bunch of votes and made a whole lot of promises regarding housing in New Zealand. And we've got a problem, haven't we, with Fletcher Building. It turns out they've really dropped the ball to a huge extent. And what is the recent developments and the recent sort of things that have been uncovered around Fletcher Building? What does it mean for the country? Because they're one of the biggest providers of materials and construction in the country. Yeah, that's got to have a massive effect on any aspirations this government has for getting the housing problem sorted out.
Solely from a government perspective, the indication so far is that the area of business that they are looking to step back from is that large scale end-to-end design through to completion
conference centres and the like.
The convention centre in Auckland, for example, or the justice sector buildings in Christchurch. So far we've been advised that it's unlikely to have an impact on us, but staying in close contact because we obviously, the Crown has an interest in those contracts. When it comes to their residential build program, they've claimed that will be unaffected. So that at least means they'll remain there as an operator.
Does it mean that the government has to keep an eye on them, though? That sort of thing. You shouldn't. They're supposed to be all grown up and sensible and know what they're doing, surely.
Yeah, and I certainly like others, have been interested in how this could have happened. It seems that just simply those early in those early contracting phases, that appears to be where they've underestimated the complete cost of the build quite dramatically. But as I say, our job is to make sure it doesn't impact on taxpayers, so that's what we've been keeping an eye on.
Right, what's the week hold for you this week, Jacinda?
So I've just come back from Dunedin, speaking at the convocation down there for new students. This week, we are looking to release the national impact assessment for the CPTPP, which at this stage it looks like we should be able to release the text. You'll remember that we were really keen to get the text for the TPP out as soon as we could.
Yep.
We're held up because other countries who signed it were working on translation and weren't ready to go, and we didn't have permission. So we pushed really hard, and I'm hoping we'll be able to let the text out this week because that's really important. People deserve to see it. So that'll go out this week, Thursday, down to Christchurch for the commemorations around the earthquake, and Friday, the Provincial Growth Fund announcement.
Righty-ho. Well, next week I may have to ask you about prospecting for oil off our coast.
Go ahead.
We can save it till then. All right. Yes. But thank you very much for speaking to us, Jacinda Ardern, Prime Minister of New Zealand. Have a wonderful week, and we'll speak to you again this time next week.
Stay safe, everyone.
Bye-bye.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.